Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, the latest on the Karl-Anthony Towns calf strain and how the Wolves will cover for Towns over the next several weeks. Who will see more minutes at the four? What kind of lineups might head coach Chris Finch trot out there? And also looking ahead at Wolves-Grizzlies on Wednesday and moving forward in general, what do the Wolves have to do to simply play better? Where have they just simply been unlucky? Because that's part of this whole thing too, right? Is bad luck? That plays into it. We'll get into all that here on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code Locked On at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day and happy Timberwolves game day. No Karl-Anthony Towns for the foreseeable future for the Wolves. We'll get into all that. And a lot more here today on the show. First of all, though, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on Locked On Sports Minnesota on the app for Locked On Sports Minnesota, I should say, on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's absolutely free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today on Roku or Amazon Fire TV. You can also, of course, follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C K E N. All right. So the latest on Karl-Anthony Towns, the report came out on Monday that the Timberwolves, the team, said that he would be reassessed. So that Towns had a calf strain. The MRI confirmed he had a calf strain. There was no additional damage. Of course, the concern, they didn't mention this, but the concern would have been Achilles, not an Achilles injury. And they said he would be further assessed in several weeks. He's out, quote unquote, indefinitely, would be reassessed in several weeks. The national report from Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN is 4 to 6 weeks. Of course, 4 weeks takes us past Christmas, basically into January. 6 weeks takes us into mid-January, and that they expect him to make a full recovery. So probably the middle case news, but obviously closer to good news than horrible news, right? I mean, the Achilles thing would be awful. That would be all of this season and most of next season, if not all of next season, and certainly would not be himself for at least 2 years, if ever. So avoiding that, now, of course, you know, Kevin Durant's come back and played great, and he's much older when it happened to him. But at any rate, far better than that situation, right? And then that, or that possibility, I should say. So the calf strain, 4 to 6 weeks. Where do the Wolves go from here? Let's start with what the Wolves will likely do with those minutes. I think the best option to play at the four next to Rudy Gobert in the starting lineup is Taurean Prince. Now, he's out himself with the shoulder subluxation, probably at least another week. I think Finch had said a week to 2 weeks, and that was like on Sunday, I think he said that. So was it Sunday or was it Friday? I can't remember, but it hasn't yet been a week, and he had said a week to 2 weeks. So I would expect at least another week for Taurean Prince, right? So he's going to miss. Now, thankfully, the Wolves only have three games in the next 8 days or so. So maybe it's only another two or three games that Prince misses, but he's not an option in the moment. And I want to get back to Prince, by the way, because Kevin Pelton at ESPN wrote an interesting article where he talks a little bit more about Prince's fit with Rudy Gobert. I thought he made some great points. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. So the most obvious answer is Kyle Anderson, right? Nasri's going to be the backup five. He's going to play the backup 5 minutes. His minutes with Rudy Gobert have not been impressive this season. Nasri and Rudy Gobert together have played 64 minutes and are a minus 11.7, or have a minus 11.7 net rating in those 64 minutes as a two-man lineup. Nasri at the four, Rudy Gobert at the five. I don't think that's the best match. I don't think that that's something that Chris Finch will do much of. I think it's just, hey, Rudy, you're going to play with somebody that's a more quote-unquote traditional four, at least in today's game. Likely Kyle Anderson, eventually, hopefully, Taurean Prince. Luka Garza is more of a center than he is a four. I know he stretches the four a little bit now, but he's such a big body. I know he's lost weight. Maybe he could play the four, but Luka Garza 12 months ago could not play the four in the NBA. He was strictly a five. Now, if he's truly continued to expand his shooting, and I know he shot the ball better at the end of his career at Iowa, and he's shown flashes as a pro, But also the bigger issue is mobility defensively. If Garza can move a little bit, maybe. But I think right now, like Wednesday against Memphis, you're going to see a lot of Kyle Anderson at the four against his former team. And my favorite option is actually, you know, not to start, but my favorite option to see some minutes during the game at the four is Nate Knight. I think Nate Knight has earned the right really to see some minutes in this given the situation to see some minutes, right? Nate Knight can stretch the floor. He can, I've talked about this before. He's a pretty well-rounded big in that he can basically do everything. He's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, honestly. And he's a better rebounder than Naz Reid. He's going to rebound the ball at the four better than Kyle Anderson. What do the Wolves need most besides just making shots? Rebounding. Now, Kyle Anderson, strangely enough, has the Wolves' best three-point shooting percentage, but it's on what is he shooting? Like a little more than 1 3 per game. On 1.13 per game, Kyle Anderson's shooting 41%. But for their careers, Nate Knight's every bit as good, if not is a better three-point shooter than Kyle Anderson. So he helps you from a shooting perspective. He helps you from a rebounding perspective. Obviously, Kyle Anderson's the better overall player at this point in time. He's a more versatile player. He's a much more versatile defender. He can help initiate offense. So those are the reasons Kyle Anderson is going to start at the four. He can do all those things. And of course, he's a veteran, which, you know, theoretically should help in a trying time such as this for the Wolves, even before the Towns injury, going through the ups and downs of the season so far. But I really like the idea of Nate Knight getting some minutes with Rudy Gobert. I think that could be really interesting, and I think they could be a really dominant rebounding duo. So I have no idea. Like, I would imagine Knight could see some minutes at the four because like, besides Kyle Anderson and Torian Prince is out, the only other players that have seen any minutes at the four for the season so far for the Wolves are Jaden McDaniels, who has seen about a quarter of his minutes at the four. But also, he's questionable Wednesday, by the way, with the illness. He's missed the last two games, so he may be unavailable. And then Anthony Edwards has played just a little bit at the four. I think he's an option as a small ball four, like in a pinch, you know, for very short stints throughout the game. But defensively and on the glass, I just don't think that's probably a winning strategy. It could be really, I mean, maybe. It's a really interesting idea. I think more likely you're going to see Jaden McDaniels, if he comes back Wednesday, maybe comes back Saturday. Perhaps McDaniels sees some more run at the four and you see Ant at the three and Jalen Noel at the two, or you see more Austin Rivers at the two. Eventually, when Torian Prince gets back, then I think Torian Prince sees a lot of those minutes at the four. But in the meantime, especially if there's no McDaniels Wednesday, Nate Knight deserves some of those minutes. I think it'd be a ton of fun to watch him play some four next to Rudy Gobert, and I like that idea. But then expect those backup minutes besides Knight. You know, again, Ant may get an opportunity. Eventually, Torian Prince, Jaden McDaniels once healthy, but that's kind of it. I mean, it's very, very slim pickings at the four spot for the Wolves right now, with no Towns, no Prince, and at least for the time being, perhaps no McDaniels as well for at least another game. So that's the immediate impact for the Wolves. There is some flexibility there for Chris Finch, and a team like Memphis is a really tough team to go against when you're light in the front court. It's so funny, not funny, like in a haha way, but sadly funny, like that's already where we're at with the Wolves, is front court depth being an issue. Now, of course, there's attractive things about all those options, right? Naz Reid, Nate Knight, Luka Garza. Fans are excited for varying reasons for each of those guys. I just think each of them fits a pretty niche role, and I don't know what's going to happen in terms of their fit with Rudy Gobert. I think Naz is best as a five. I think Garza's best as a five. And that kind of leaves Nate Knight as your four possibility besides Kyle Anderson and Torian Prince, who's also injured. So at any rate, we'll see what happens Wednesday. Again, Jaden McDaniels questionable. Garza's been called up officially, I should note that. So he'll be with the team Wednesday. Be interesting to see what Chris Finch decides to do. Next, I want to get into that Kevin Pelton article at ESPN. I think it's pretty fascinating. He wrote an entire article about Towns injury and Gobert and the Wolves lineups, and talks a little bit about Prince. And he brings up an interesting mention of luck, bad luck. I talked about this the other day on the show, and I wanted to build it out a bit further today before some of this Towns stuff happened. So I'm still going to spend a few minutes on it and also get some of the thoughts from Pelton's article about some of the bad luck the Wolves have had to this point. So I want to do that here next. First, though, today's show is presented by our friends at Sweatblock. There's no way I'm the only one that has had an issue at work, generally probably at work, maybe in a social situation or whatever it might be. You're giving a presentation, you're in a meeting, you have embarrassing sweat marks on your shirt. Maybe you're running to the bathroom every hour or something to dry off your armpit so no one sees the wet circles under your arms. But like for me, it was always meetings at work, sitting in the same spot for a long time with my arms down, whatever. And then you worry about it when you stand up. But not anymore. You can absolutely fix your problem with Sweatblock. Sweatblock gives you the confidence to wear whatever you want without embarrassing sweat. Sweatblock wipes were featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. And you know they are in an extremely warm line of work and are absolutely sweaty human beings. They tested Sweatblock wipes on the Rachel Ray Show and, you know, the wipes pass with flying colors. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. Again, 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen today. Now for your second listen, go check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, I want to go with the Kevin Pelton article over at ESPN. This is an ESPN Insider, ESPN Plus article, so you do have to have the Insider subscription to read it. It's entitled Carl Anthony Towns out 4 to 6 weeks, where Rudy Gobert and the Timberwolves go from here. So Pelton talks about some things that we've covered on the show. If you're a Wolves fan, you've listened to this show, you've watched the games, you're aware of what some of the issues have been, right? A few numbers that Pelton cites that I think are pretty interesting. With Towns on the bench and Gobert on the court, the Wolves are a -7.1 points per 100 possessions. And that's lineup data over at NBA Advanced Stats, which is what I was using earlier when I cited two-man lineups. That's NBA Advanced Stats. I want to skip over a little bit some of the other things he talks about for now and then get back to it. He talks a lot about how Torian Prince is perhaps the best fit next to Rudy Gobert because the Utah Jazz last year had the league's best offensive rating with Rudy Gobert in the lineup in the regular season because they surrounded him with a ton of shooting, right? They had Joe Ingles. They had obviously Mitchell. They had Mike Conley has shot the ball well from three the last several years. Among others, just as many Jordan Clarkson, guys that can knock down threes. And that formula worked great for Utah. The Wolves don't have enough outstanding shooters. Torian Prince is the player that Pelton mentions as the best fit. And then he launches into this whole thing about how Prince has been their best three-point shooter this season. He could help space the floor, et cetera. Doesn't mention that Prince is out for at least another 2 to 3 games, if not longer, but longer term over the next few weeks, perhaps he's the best match. But then he also talks about the issue related to rebounding. Like when Gobert plays with Towns, they get 76% of available rebounds, which is above average in terms of defensive rebound rate. But with Gobert and any other power forward besides Towns, that mark would rate is 72.5%, including just 71% of defensive rebounds in 33 minutes with Prince and Gobert on the floor, a rate that would rank last in the NBA if it was extrapolated out. So Pelton correctly identifies it like, hey, Prince is the best offensive match, but maybe on the glass or maybe even defensively, it's not a great match. And so then related to lineups, he gets into this whole thing about bad luck shooting wise, which is something that I mentioned a couple times earlier in the week. And I intended before the Towns injury to spend most of the show today talking about this, so I'm going to hit it pretty quick. But the Wolves have had bad luck this season shooting the basketball. They have, like, I don't think the Wolves are ever, with this lineup, are not going to be, certainly without Towns, they're not going to be a top five, maybe even top 10 shooting three-point shooting team. They just won't be. But they're not a bottom five three-point shooting team, which is currently where they are, I believe, percentage-wise. Let me make sure that I'm accurate on that still, because I don't know. The number's only really dropping. 27th in percentage. So they're the fourth worst three-point shooting team by percentage league-wide. They should not be that low. It's actually kind of crazy. So what Pelton mentions is the bad luck that they've had with Towns and Gobert on the floor together. And here, I'll just read directly from Pelton's article. He says, to some extent, they're being outscored by 7.1 points per 100 possessions with Gobert and Towns on the floor are a product of fluky poor shooting beyond the arc. Minnesota hasn't shot well from three overall, hitting 33% thus far to rank 27th in the league, which I just mentioned, but that's dropped to 28% with Gobert on the floor without Towns. So with Towns off the floor and Gobert on the floor, the Wolves have shot 28% from three, which is just absurdly low. He goes on to say, according to Second Spectrum's quantified shot probability measure, which incorporates the location, type of shot, distance to nearby defenders, and the ability of the shooter, Minnesota should have been expected to hit 34.5% of three-point attempts with those lineups. Still worse than league average. But 34.5% is a heck of a lot better than 28%. That 6.5% difference is massive when you're talking about three-point shooting percentage. So they've been flukily bad. That's not a word, but we're going to go with it. Flukily bad with shooting from three really throughout the season. But the point here he's making with both Towns and Gobert and with just Gobert, they've been weirdly bad from three. And my own analysis is very surface level, but like in terms of like, this is easy to understand, right? Law of averages, there has to be a progression to the mean for the Wolves. You look at the Wolves' four highest three-point attempt, four most frequent three-point attempt for three-point shooters based on attempt. So just take three-point attempts and sort them. So the four players that have shot the most threes for the Wolves this year, there, it was that easy. Anthony Edwards is number one. He's pretty in line with his career mark. He's a little bit ahead of where he was a couple years ago, right, kind of in line with the career average. D'Angelo Russell's second in terms of attempts. He shot 125 threes so far this season through Monday night's game. He's shooting just 32% from three. That would be his career worst mark. He shot a hair better than that his first season in Brooklyn. But besides that, he's been essentially 37% or better every season except for last year when he shot just 34%. He's all the way down to 32%. So take out this year. So coming into this season, D'Angelo Russell's career three-point shooting percentage was 35.6%, which is right around league average. He's shooting 32% this year. That's 3.6 points worse. That's your number two three-point shooter in terms of frequency. The Timberwolves' number three-point shooter in terms of frequency is Karl-Anthony Towns. By the way, Towns should not be third on this list. He should be first. I guess shot selection is a different conversation. He's shooting 32.5% from three this season. We all know Karl's a better three-point shooter than that. That would easily be his career worst mark. The closest mark to that would be his rookie season. He was 34% from three. Over each of the last five seasons, Towns has been 40% or better four out of the last five seasons. The only, quote-unquote, bad one in there is 38.7%. So coming into this season, we're talking about a career 39.7% three-point shooter, effectively a 40% career three-point shooter, shooting 32.5%. That is a full 7.2 points worse. So D'Lo's, 2.5 worse or something, 2.3 worse? Towns is 7.2% worse than his career average. Okay, so that's number two and number three on that list. Number four in three-point attempts is Jalen Noel. He shot 82 three-pointers this season. He's currently shooting 30.5% from three. Last year, he was 39.4%. That's a difference of 8.9 points. For his career coming into the season, he was 34.5%. So that's still a four-point difference. He was really bad his rookie year. Was pretty average his second year, a little below league average. Last year, he was very good, 39%. This year, 30%. Again, this season, coming into the season, career three-point shooting percentage to what he's doing this year, exactly 4 points. So D'Lo's about 2.5 points difference. Towns is 7.2 points off his career average. And Noel is 4 points off his career average. That's your number two, three, and four three-point shooters in terms of frequency on the Timberwolves. And you want to add some role players. Bryn Forbes, coming into the season, Bryn Forbes was a career 41.3% coming into the season. 41.3%. Bryn Forbes is shooting 26.1% from three this season. That is a full 15.2 points worse than his career mark. Now, it's relatively small volume. He's only shot, 23 threes this season for the Wolves. But that's just, that's somebody who you'd bank on to shoot 40% from three. And it's not happening. This bad luck, and it's not really not shot quality either. These shots eventually have to fall. The shot mix is good. They're getting to the line. They're shooting a lot of threes. They're getting to the rim. They're not shooting a ton of mid-range shots. they're making the ones that they do take from the mid-range. Mostly D'Lo and Ant and Jalen Newell are kind of your mid-range shooters, and they for the most part are good from there. It's just a lot of bad luck. And I'm not saying that's why the Wolves are 10-11, but it's a big reason. They've had bad luck on some of these shots, and eventually that's going to swing the other way. Just last season, Torian Prince was shooting like 20% on threes at Christmas time and was like 50% in January, February, March. If the whole team does this, now we're having this, it's just like last year. We have a much more positive conversation and tone to this podcast in February and March when this team is all of a sudden winning and Towns is back and the whole thing. That's on the table. I mean, like, at some point, something has to give. This is not actually the 27th best shooting team in the league in terms of three-point shooting. It's not a thing. Okay, a couple more notes on the article from Kevin Pelton at ESPN, and then previewing Wolves Grizzlies. We'll do that here next. First, though, today's show is presented to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur sports league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, they've got it all at BetOnline.net. Of course, lots of soccer happening now. Football, college football, the regular season is now over, but of course, plenty of NFL and of course, NBA. Pretty much every night there's NBA to check out over at BetOnline. If you love sports podcasts, you can also find those at BetOnline. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so Kevin Pelton at ESPN closed his article about Towns, Towns missing time with the calf strain and the Wolves with Gobert on the floor and kind of that, really everything that's happened so far for the Wolves this season. It's a really good article, but he closes by talking about the lost opportunity for what he calls the Gobert-Towns integration. And I actually, this was kind of my point that I made on Tuesday's show after I guess it would have been after Monday night's game, so Tuesday's show, is that I think it's actually what I opened the show with. Like, yeah, the Wolves are 10-11, and they need their best player on the floor. Towns is their best all-around player. He's their most consistent player. They need him on the floor. But this also, on a more macro level, really hurts what this front office was trying to do, because already under a microscope for trading four first-round picks and this year's first-round, Walker Kessler and a couple of guys from the starting lineup and from last season and Vanderbilt and Beverly and trading all and six man from last year and Malik Beasley, like three of the top six rotation guys. Already under a microscope for that, this team gets off to a 5-8 start, wins five straight, everybody's happy, and now all of a sudden losing three straight again. Now you lose the opportunity to further integrate. So, say the Wolves play well and win some games now without Towns, then what does that look like when you reintegrate Towns to Gobert? And that's obviously best case scenario. Nobody wants the Wolves to lose with Towns out. With Towns out, everybody wants them to still win and be successful. Towns would say the same thing, of course. But it's kind of a lose-lose for the Wolves in the front office unless Towns comes back and the Wolves have figured out enough stuff without him that they can reintegrate him pretty seamlessly. But you're talking a team reintegrating their best player, somebody who's going to play a ton of minutes and shoot the ball and have the ball in his hands a lot. That's going to be difficult, whether it's the last week of December or the third week of January. Like, it's going to be a difficult thing to do, whether they win or lose over the next 4 to 6, 7, 8 weeks or whatever it ends up being. So the lost time, because like now we're talking midseason, like in terms of schedule, we might not be at the All-Star break yet, but we'll basically be 50% of the way through the schedule by the time Towns comes back, more likely than not. I mean, losing half the schedule, say this team's hovering around 500, you're almost starting from square one, right? I mean, this lineup, those two guys together, Gobert and Towns, haven't played that many minutes together yet, right? We're a quarter of the way through the season. Gobert missed a couple games due to health and safety protocols. They only played the one game together in the preseason. There's obviously a lot of work to be done. Now, I don't know if you want to call it a silver lining. I think Marnie Gellner said this on the postcast the other night after the Wolves loss on Monday. to the Wizards is that like maybe some of the other stuff can get worked out, like whether that's the D'Lo Rudy pick and roll, maybe that feel gets sorted out, the Ant Gobert pick and roll, just the overall chemistry with Gobert and some of the other guys without having another big like Towns who commands the ball, commands attention, and you know, so much offense is run through Towns. Without him in the picture, perhaps the Wolves are forced to do some things a little bit differently. Gobert might get some more touches. Maybe Gobert sees things differently without Towns on the floor. I don't know. But there are some potential positives that could come out of this. No matter how you slice it, though, you're going to have to reintegrate Karl-Anthony Towns, a three-time All-Star, All-NBA player midseason. And you already have kind of a shaky pairing with to this point with Towns and Gobert. So that's going to be a challenge, to be sure. And Pelton spends a bit of time in his article talking through that as well, as I mentioned on the show yesterday. Okay. Let's close the show by talking Wolves-Grizzlies. So the Wolves and Grizzlies matched up, about 2 weeks ago now, and played a pretty good game. That was kind of after the Wolves had been really struggling. Nationally televised ESPN game on a Friday night. The Wolves came to Memphis and played hard, played well, ended up losing by 11 to the Grizzlies. And it was actually not a bad Wolves game. At the time, it dropped them to 5-8, and that was right before they rattled off five straight wins. So that was kind of the start of them starting to play better. In that game, Karl-Anthony Towns only had 13, 10, and 4 anyway. He didn't do a whole lot himself in 26 minutes. The Grizzlies had got 28, 10, and 8 from Ja Morant. The Wolves struggled to slow him down. Desmond Bane is out currently, by the way. He's a couple weeks into an absence, and so he won't play for the Grizzlies. They've gone 3-4 since playing against the Wolves. The one silver lining for Minnesota is that this game's in Minnesota. The Grizzlies are 5-6 on the road. They've lost 3 of 4 on the road since the Wolves saw them last. Gobert actually did some pretty good damage against, he was perfect from the floor against Memphis, 5 of 5 at the free throw line the last time these two teams saw each other. D'Angelo Russell was very quiet, 4 points on 8 shots, and missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts. Kyle Anderson was good against his former team, 11-7-4 off the bench. So this matchup for Minnesota continues to be a pretty interesting one. Without Towns, it's certainly difficult. Memphis has a very formidable front court. Obviously, Steven Adams and Aldama, and it's just a difficult thing to navigate. Brandon Clark off the bench. So it's a fun matchup. The Ja versus Ant thing is obviously the headliner.
But without Towns and potentially no Jaden McDaniels, he's, as I mentioned earlier, he's questionable with the illness on Wednesday. Without Towns, without McDaniels, it's very likely going to be tough sledding for Minnesota on Wednesday. But again, not a terrible matchup for Minnesota. I just think it's an interesting matchup more than anything else. So we'll, of course, do the live postcast with Marnie after the show, or after the game, I should say, about 45 minutes after the game on Wednesday. We'll do the full postgame pod. We'll post early Thursday morning, breaking down the game and everything that happens in Wolves Grizzlies as well. So make sure to tune in to the postcast on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube page. Again, about 45 minutes to an hour following the final horn of Wolves Grizzlies on Wednesday. And then the postcast podcast, man, the postgame podcast Thursday morning as well. A big thank you if you do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. It's greatly appreciated. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on Locked On Sports Minnesota. That's the Roku and Amazon Fire TV app. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. That's with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K. Yeah. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And also a reminder that your second listen can be our friends over at the Locked On Sports Today podcast. It's everything you need to break down the day in sports. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.